This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, May 20th, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Ahead on Ozarks, a group of business owners prepare to host a block party on Sunday. And the members of McNair Elementary's Glee Club stop by the Furman Garner Performance Studio to sing a few songs for us.
The 2012 election is 18 months away, but a hint of one subject Arkansas voters might be considering then came to Northwest Arkansas yesterday.
There's a big anti-tax sentiment out there, but the difference here is that it would be a tax on the interstate gas companies that are making the money. In other words, the ones taking the gas out of this state would be the ones paying it.
Sheffield Nelson was in Fayetteville yesterday to talk about his effort to place a 7% severance tax on natural gas removed from Arkansas in front of voters in November 2012. He held a press conference, spoke to the League of Women Voters last night, and yesterday afternoon he came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about his proposal. The ballot title has been approved by the Attorney General, and the next step is gathering enough signatures to place the measure on the ballot. Sheffield Nelson is not a political novice. He's run for governor twice as the Republican nominee in 1990 and again 4 years later. Nor is he an unfamiliar figure in the world of utilities. He was the CEO of Arco Gas for much of the 1970s and 80s. His latest cause, the 7% severance tax, has been on his mind for a while. In 2008, the Arkansas legislature passed a severance tax increase in the shadow of Nelson's first flirtation with an initiative to put the 7% measure on the ballot.
In 2008, Governor Beebe did step forward after I started my petition drive at 7%. He did step forward and ask me if he could come up with a reasonable solution, would I back off of mine? I told him if it were reasonable, I would. He came out with a proposal that ranged from 1.25% to 5%, and it sounded good and looked good on the surface. To see it in application, though, it's been terrible because it's produced only 1.5%, exactly. And that's not what anybody envisioned, or at least anybody outside of the industry itself. And I think they knew exactly what they were doing. But first thing, I'd have to say that Governor Beebe spent a lot of political capital on that. I admire him for having the courage to take it on because, you know, we'd been stuck at 0.3 cents an MCF for 55 years. So one or two governors had tried to start something on it. I know I pushed back when I was at ARCLA, president of ARCLA, for them to do something. And the only one that even acted like he was going to was Bill Clinton. And then he backed out once he found how much pressure there was. So Governor Beebe did show a lot of courage. He spent a lot of political capital. He got it changed from a cents per MCF to a percentage. And that's what gives us our springboard to jump forward now and try to raise it up to 7%, which is where we probably should have gone back in 2008.
Neighboring states charge more than Arkansas's current rate. Texas, Oklahoma, and Louisiana all charge around 7%. And Sheffield Nelson says he thinks voters will see the increase as a fair royalty for taking a natural resource out of the state. Taxes are rarely popular on ballots, and the current atmosphere is even more hostile than usual. The state legislature approved other tax proposals that will be included on the 2012 ballot, and Nelson says supporters of his severance tax proposal will have a challenge to make sure voters differentiate their proposal from the others.
The other two tax proposals that the legislature is sending through or has sent through to the people to vote on both involve taxing the people of Arkansas. Big difference. The half-cent sales tax, I just don't see any support out there. I don't hear any support, and I think that it's got problems. The same is true for the diesel tax. It's got a better chance than the half cent. But again, Arkansans are not going to be willing to tax themselves. But when you've got a group of companies that are tearing up the state, disturbing greatly the beautiful environment we have here, destroying our water supplies, and then they don't pay but 1.5% on the gas, that's wrong. And that's the reason I think the people will listen when I tell them that it's a tax on the ones who are doing the damage. And that's what should be.
Nelson says the hike in the severance tax would mean a difference between the $54 million in state revenue collected last year and the $250 million that would have been collected last year had the rate already been at 7%. The money would be directed toward Arkansas roads and highways, about 70% toward state roads, and about 15% each toward county roads and city roads. Nelson says he's convinced a tax increase would not result in companies leaving the state.
Not a chance on earth. You take a Chesapeake there that here in a few short years has made $4.75 billion profit for selling. There'll be some cost in there, but they got most of their cost recouped by getting paid back by the state of Arkansas for the gas up to the cost of the well. In other words, we pay for their wells. They're producing wells. So that is a great deal of that is clear profit they've made here in a few short years. Anybody leaving? Don't think so. Billington coming in, bought that for $4.75 billion. They're not going to be leaving. They're going to be drilling and trying to expand on that and make money themselves.
The ballot title has been approved, and Nelson and other supporters can begin collecting signatures, though he says a time frame for that part of the process has yet to be finalized. But he has time. The signatures don't have to be submitted and approved until July of next year.
In fact, the way I describe it is we've got a marathon in front of us. It was a sprint back in 2008. We would have had to rush it and barely make it to get signatures in. I've got some great endorsements right now, the most meaningful one being, at this time, the Arkansas Municipal League. Every town and community in the state is represented in that group, and I think they will be my biggest supporters and help me do more than anybody else to get this matter on the ballot.
Ultimately, Nelson says he thinks the measure will be on the ballot and will be passed, though he expects a well-funded campaign in opposition. He cites a report from the State Highway Commission that says damage done to roads by heavy trucks and machinery has caused hundreds of millions of dollars in the 13 Arkansas counties that are included in the Fayetteville Shale Play. That's likely to be a figure voters will hear more about if the measure does make it to the November 2012 ballot. Sheffield Nelson was in Fayetteville yesterday to discuss his effort to place a 7% severance tax on natural gas companies doing business in Arkansas. You can hear an expanded version of our conversation recorded yesterday at KUAF online at OzarksAtLarge.com.
If you're going to have a block party in Fayetteville, it only seems natural to have it on Block Street. On Sunday, Block Street businesses will host the inaugural Block Street Block Party from 1 to 8 o'clock. Little Bread Company owner Hannah Withers says the party will be a way to celebrate the street's recent revamp.
We all sort of came up with the idea. We started the Block Street Business Association about a year ago. Wendy Finn from I Am Spa was getting us together during the construction phase to sort of talk about advertising and talk about how to handle certain things in our district, because we're very separate from the things that happen on the square and the things that happen on Dixon Street, and the city sort of remodeled us to become this thoroughfare between the two places. And so we decided that now that the construction is done, that this is a perfect time to celebrate the fact that we're different from Dixon and the square and have our own event.
All three blocks between Dixon Street and the Fayetteville Square will only be open to foot traffic on Sunday. Several of the businesses along the street will open up for extended hours, and a variety of events are planned for the block party.
We're starting the festival off with a ribbon cutting by Lionel Jordan at the beginning at 1 o'clock on the corner of Dixon and Block. And the Fayetteville Pedicab Company is picking him and a couple of council people up to do a back-end parking demonstration on the first block with our interesting parking layout. And we have Sound Warehouse is doing a chalk drawing competition all day. There will be a hot dog eating competition at JR's. We're doing a waiter's race that you can enter from any restaurant that you work at in Fayetteville. We're doing an obstacle course. There's a $100 cash prize for the winner. We've got beer pong tournaments at Maxine's all day long. I think it should be a lot of fun.
The festival will also feature four different music stages, two beer gardens, and about 30 different nonprofit groups who will have informational booths and activities for both children and adults. There is no cost to attend the festival.
It's all free. There is a lot for sale. There's a lot of food for sale, but there are a lot of people that are doing free activities. We have a law office that's doing a free raffle for a flat screen TV. Doesn't cost a thing. All you've got to do is put your name on it. There are a lot of people that are bringing balloon artists and people that are just there to participate. So there are some people that are doing, Bank of Fayetteville is doing hot dogs. They're doing balloons. They're doing some things that the proceeds go to charities of their choice. But for the most part, you can come and listen to music and hang out for virtually nothing if you want to.
Withers has been helping plan the event since February, and she says several local organizations have been willing to be a part of the festival.
You know, I think Fayetteville's just ready for a festival that's for Fayetteville. I think we weren't aiming at bringing in out-of-towners, and I don't think we were aiming at hitting any particular kind of market. But I think Block Street is a really eclectic street, and it's a very independent and locally owned street. And I think when you have a street like that, there are a lot of community people who are like-minded who support that street. So most of these people that are participating are people that we know as business owners or who are customers of ours that we reached out to and asked them to come and join the fun. It happened very organically and very naturally.
In addition to the festival being a success in its inaugural year, Withers hopes it will become an annual event.
We'd like it to be something that we look forward to at the end of the school year every year. We'd also like it to be, I think this is a year that's going to be a learning curve for us. There are a lot of things that we don't know how they're going to work. We don't exactly know how much space we have or how much is too much space or too many things. And so it should be interesting to see how it all turns out with just a couple months worth of planning.
A complete list of activities and vendors is available at blockstreetbusinesses.com. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums.
This month, the Walmart Foundation made a gift of nearly $37,000 to support the Full Circle Campus Food Pantry at the University of Arkansas. The food pantry helps provide emergency food assistance to students and staff on campus. The donation will be used in part to buy food and supplies to keep the pantry stocked and to pay for an intern who will assist with running the pantry. The donation will also help to complete final projects in the food pantry space, such as the installation of an alarm system and a reception area.
A lawsuit was filed yesterday in U.S. District Court in Little Rock by a group of environmental organizations and individuals against the U.S. Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, and the Army Corps of Engineers to prevent gas drilling in the Ozark National Forest and under Greer's Ferry Lake. The suit claims that natural gas mining will severely damage the forest, water, and air, and that the ecological effects of new gas drilling, known as slick water hydraulic fracturing, are unknown, uncertain, and need to be studied. The complaint goes on to say that proposed drilling leases are far in excess of estimates made in 2005 by the U.S. Bureau of Land Management. Rob Leffler from Fayetteville and his family are individual plaintiffs. They own property adjacent to the Ozark National Forest.
And what troubles me is the scale of the drilling that the Forest Service is planning to allow. As I understand it, they're estimating there's going to be more than 1,000 drill sites. And each one of those means clearing out a few acres, building roads in through the national forest so their heavy equipment can get in and out, building pipelines, pumping out gas for a year or two, and you hope there's no leaks or blowouts like there was recently in Pennsylvania. And then after production's over, what are you left with? You can't fully reclaim all those drill sites. It's thousands of acres permanently impacted, and that's a really big footprint for the industry to leave on public lands in Arkansas.
The complaint alleges that BLM and the U.S. Forest Service have violated the law by not conducting environmental assessments and resource management planning as required by the Mineral Leasing Act, the National Forest Management Act, and the National Environmental Policy Act. The lawsuit asks that the federal court block issuance of any additional gas leases until a study and a plan are complete. The plaintiffs are represented by Richard H. Mays of the Mays & White Law Firm in Heber Springs.
Maple Street between North Wilson and North Vandeventer Avenues in Fayetteville is scheduled to close to through traffic between 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. beginning Monday. City Transportation Division crews will begin replacing deteriorating sections of curb and sidewalk at Maple Street and West Avenue. The work is expected to take a week depending on the weather. The street will be open to traffic during the evenings and detours will be posted. A new survey from the Arkansas Partnership for Teacher Quality finds too many teachers are being produced in Arkansas, but not enough in certain subjects or areas of the state. Dr. Andrew Sewell, the dean of the College of Education at UALR, says not only does the state have a problem with getting teachers in rural parts of the state, but the teacher population is growing less diverse.
Another factor, and that is that teachers often work with students who are like them. We're producing many, many, many Caucasian and particularly female teachers and very few Latino and African American teachers. And that also is an issue in terms of providing role models for the youngsters in the classrooms and working effectively with their families and their communities, and it's something we have to address.
Sewell says other problems the state faces in education are the lack of teachers in the subjects of science and math. She says schools of education at various universities are recruiting students from the science and technology departments to train more teachers in the subjects.
The Donald W. Reynolds Cancer Support House is inviting all local cancer survivors to come celebrate life at the annual National Cancer Survivors Day event. This year's event is scheduled from 11 until 2, June 4th at Evangel Temple Assembly of God Church at the corner of Townsend and Dodson Avenues in Fort Smith. The year's theme, Mardi Gras, a celebration of life. Seating is limited to the first 300 survivors. Reservations must be made by May 30th. More information at 800-262-9917. And the Arkansas State Police Highway Safety Office will host the 10th annual Click It or Ticket campaign the 23rd of May through June 5th. Coordinated by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the campaign is a national effort to encourage motorists to obey the law and buckle up both at day and at night. With the passage of a primary offense seatbelt safety law in 2009, law enforcement officers across Arkansas can now be authorized to initiate traffic stops if a driver or passenger simply is not properly restrained.
The University of Arkansas men's golf team is in second place after the first round of competition at the NCAA Northeast Regional in Florida. As a team, Arkansas stands at 5 under par, one stroke behind the host, and number one seed in the regional Florida. Baylor and North Carolina State are tied for third at 4 under par, with Oregon and Georgia Southern tied for fifth at 3 under. The top five teams advanced to the NCAA championships. First tee for both the men's team and the 11th-ranked women's team was scheduled for shortly after 9 this morning.
And two Ole Miss pitchers combined to allow just one run as the Mississippi Rebels defeated number 23 Arkansas 2-1 last night at Baum Stadium. Arkansas now 34-18 overall, 13-15 in the SEC. Arkansas and Ole Miss will continue the three-game series tonight, weather permitting, with the first pitch scheduled for 6. CSS and CST will televise Saturday's game. The final game of the series is scheduled for 2:05 that afternoon. It is Friday, May 20th, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
In the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio with us is Becca Bacon-Martin. She is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
And you know, I'm sure that there's an old theater saying that the show must go on.
Mm-hmm.
And the Arkansas New Play Festival will go on tonight and this weekend, in spite of a tragic loss in the Northwest Arkansas theater community. We can't start this show any other way than to pay tribute to Sean Mabry and Kathy Mellinger, both theater grads from the university. Sean, obviously, you've seen on stage, most recently in Every Christmas Story Ever Told. Kathy was a stage manager. She was one of the people who made things happen. And they both passed away after a car wreck Sunday morning. They were on I-540, and they met a car that was going the other direction on their side of I-540.
Both leave, despite their young ages, a great legacy in Northwest Arkansas Theater. Worked with the University of Arkansas, worked with Theater Squared. Sean was with Artist Laboratory.
One of the founding members of Dan's Party,
right.
The comedy troupe. Theater Squared has dedicated the New Play Festival to both of them. And Morgan Hicks, who's a founding member of Theater Squared, wanted people to know that the thing everybody would remember most about Sean, if they knew him, was his laugh. He was the kind of guy, as I've heard said about you, that they should pay to come be in the audience.
Yeah.
And that no matter who he met, he made that person feel like they were the most important person in the room. Kathy was a great stage manager, Morgan said, and one of those people who had to take care of everybody, and she was about to be married. So the Poe Show, which was set for 6:30 Saturday, has been canceled because Sean was supposed to be in it. The 9 o'clock Comedy Improv Showcase, they thought about canceling because it's Fun Bags and Dance Party, and they decided to do it as a benefit for Sean's family. So all they can of the $10 admission fee will go to his family, and it will, of course, be a tribute to him. And Arts Life Theater is also accepting donations for a scholarship in Sean's honor. So all that being said, and if you're loosely connected to the theater community and you've been wondering what's going on,
there you go.
That's what's going on. All that being said, go out and do something wonderful this weekend, because that's what the theater community is all about. So here's the wonderful.
All right.
Tonight, there is a Twilight Walk in Rogers, the first of them for the spring.
do them throughout the warm weather months, correct?
Artists, food vendors, live music all downtown. Starts at 5 o'clock, and it's free. Tonight's also the White Street Walk in Eureka Springs. Fun, funky artists opening their studios, other artists setting up in the front yard so you can come and see what they do. It goes on from 4 to 10 tonight, and it's free, part of the May Festival of the Arts. The Ozark Couture Fashion Show is tonight.
Rain or shine.
Mm-hmm. A wearable art event. You know, it features jewelry, Antoinette.
You'll be there then?
Well, if I'm not there, I'm going to be at the trunk show on Saturday. This is happening at the Walton Art Center as part of Artisphere. It starts at 6 o'clock, and it's free. Mm-hmm. And this weekend is the Crawdad Days Festival, a long way from Couture, in Harrison. And guess who the headliner is Saturday night?
At the Crawdad Festival?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
The Kentucky Headhunters. You can check on tickets for that at 800-880-6265. The Jungle Books this weekend at Arts Live.
Right.
7 o'clock tonight, 2 and 7 tomorrow, and 2 o'clock on Sunday. And it's at the York Ballroom this time.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets are $8 to $12. And, of course, the New Play Festival goes on tonight with two new scripts, They Want by Alan Burks at 6:30 and In the Book Of by John Walsh at 8:30 at the Nadine Baum Studios. And there's a band coming to Rogue Pizza Company tonight called Ann Horse.
I saw that sign yesterday, and I was curious about that.
Apparently, they've opened for people like Death Cab for Cutie and Cage the Elephant. They're Australian. And I have no idea what Ann Horse means.
How is that spelled?
A-N.
And then horse.
Yes, like Ann Horse instead of a horse.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if they've been opening for Death Cab for Cutie and Cage the Elephant, right, it'll be fun. Show starts at 9 o'clock and it's $5 tomorrow.
That was all just tonight.
That was all just tonight. The Ozark, he dozed off while I was telling you.
No.
Tomorrow, the Ozark Couture Designer Trunk Show.
Okay, so you
I'm looking at Antoinette, 10 to 2,
yes.
At Studio Leilani on the Fayetteville Square. The Fort Smith Rose Society's Rose Show is tomorrow. More art of a different kind. 10 to 5 at the Fort Smith Public Library. Tomorrow's the Doggy Walk, the Dogwood Walk.
Oh, excellent.
The 19th annual benefiting the Humane Society of the Ozarks. Registration's at 10. Dog Walk at noon at Gully Park in Fayetteville. And there's a book signing tomorrow with Bruce Vaughn.
The name of the book?
Growing Up Rich, Though Dirt Poor.
I like that.
Yeah.
Love Bruce Vaughn. You know, he is almost 90 and has been a fixture in Springdale. Repaired radios, was a ham radio bug, learned it in World War II. And the book starts in the 1920s when he was born and goes through the end of World War II.
It's a memoir.
It is. 2 to 4 o'clock for the book signing at Shiloh Museum in Springdale. He's also the author of Emma, We Love You, about Springdale's Main Street. And they'll have his books for sale, so you can have him sign them.
Okay.
Makes sense. Tomorrow night, Harmonically Yours.
The conclusion of the Fort Smith 2010-2011 season.
How can you not love a symphony performance with a harmonica player?
Well, you could say, gosh, I wish he would do some Elvis.
And they're going to.
Yes, the grand finale.
Robert Bonfiglio will be the harmonica player at 7:30 at the Arkansas Best Performing Arts Center in Fort Smith. And tomorrow night is the Artist Fair Festival Orchestra's Italian Soundscapes.
I talked to a couple people who went Tuesday night for the premiere of the AFO Orchestra. They were over the moon.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it is
free.
Free. You just have to go pick up a ticket.
I was going
to
say, call ahead or, you know.
Or you could listen and you could win some tickets.
Today.
Mm-hmm.
We will be giving away tickets for the performances later.
Excellent. So that takes us through Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about Sunday on Sunday.
Fair deal.
Thanks, Becca.
Thank you.
Becca Bacon-Martin is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. And on this Friday edition, we conclude our series of poems read by writers from a creative writing class at Fayetteville High School. Last week, I was invited to Linda Brothers' class and heard each of the students read a poem with the theme, Nature as Third Place. The poems were written in conjunction with the Poetivity arm of the Artisphere Festival, presented by Walton Art Center. During my visit, each of the students discussed writers they admired and felt had influenced them in some way. Linda Brothers, the teacher of the class, has posters of two of her favorite writers on the wall, Bob Dylan and Jack Kerouac.
Kerouac in particular, of the Beat Generation, he was Catholic and bisexual, so that made him a dichotomy and something that warred inside of him. He supported the Vietnam War during the Beat Generation when all of his, you know, peers and compadres did not support the Vietnam War. He was a, but the voice, there is something about the way that he saw things, and frankly, like him, you know, the only ones for me are the mad ones, the ones who are mad to live. And I think that poetry especially is one of the ways that the mad ones are able to connect.
Other writers mentioned by students included Shel Silverstein and Ben Nichols, a songwriter in the band Lucero. For Henry Hansen, a graduating senior at FHS, inspiration comes from not necessarily a single writer.
I take a lot of inspiration from music, you know, like I don't think anybody would who writes poetry. But I actually draw a lot from hip-hop music, like word choice in hip-hop music, it's phenomenal, you know, and it's easy to draw things out of that really inspire you, because it's have like so many literary devices in like two lines, it's like just, you know, because they have to have the flow, and I listen to hip-hop every day, and like, I mean, I'll write something every day because of that, so it's really helped me a lot.
Henry wrote one of the poems inspired by the Nature is Third Place theme. This week, we've heard other students' work about a swimming hole, a cavern in the Ozark Bluffs, and a coffee shop. For Henry, the third place is always with him.
21st century American transcendentalist. Deep within my mind, there's this place where thoughts swirl through my brain as if I were an aqueduct. Infinite ideas collide like sand and tide. This place is what I want it to be. A beach chair by the sea, a Hyperborea-esque land beyond the north winds where sunshine never thins. Concepts blossom into abstract shapes as I sit still, pondering, wandering through never-ending meadows or busy business districts. I'm a creator, crafting this place like a dream weaver night knitting.
Henry Hansen reading his poem that was inspired by Nature as the Third Place and written in conjunction with the Artisphere Festival that continues through the end of the month. It merges art and nature. As far as inspirations for their writing, each of the students in Ms. Brothers' class said they were inspired by each other and their teacher, and they complimented fellow student Henry Hansen for his ability to offer honest critiques of their work.
Henry just flat out says, look, this, excuse my language, but this sucks, so you need to go back, fix it, and make it sound better. So he just basically tells it how it is, and it's kind of refreshing to actually get a real viewpoint from that, from someone.
If I could pick just one person to get critiques from out of this class, it would definitely be Henry.
Oh,
I've gotten
no doubt.
So much help from him in almost pretty much all of my work that I've brought to the table. I look at his advice and it's perfect. It helps so much.
Whichever creative writing program gets Henry, they're getting a treasure.
Definitely. The members of Linda Brothers' creative writing class talked to me last week at Fayetteville High School. The Northwest Arkansas Writing Project, which helps teachers become better writers, helped develop and present the poetivity portion of the Artisphere Festival. This is Ozarks at Large.
Ozarks at Large is supported by the Fayetteville Underground, located on the east side of the Fayetteville Square. Open Wednesday through Saturday and featuring an artist reception on the first Thursday of every month. More information regarding the Friends of the Underground at FayettevilleUnderground.org.
KUAF and the Wakarusa Music Festival are inviting you to register for the Wakarusa Getaway Giveaway. One lucky winner will receive 2 4-day passes plus general camping at Wakarusa. It's an outdoor music festival that is staged from June 2nd through the 5th on Mulberry Mountain near Ozark. It will include over 75 live performances. Bands scheduled to appear include Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, Toots and the Maytals, Ben Harper, and Ghostland Observatory. Plus, not just music, camping, frisbee golf, fishing, and more. The drawing for the Getaway Giveaway takes place Friday, May 27th. That's a week from today, during this noon edition of Ozarks at Large. You can visit KUAF.com to register. Please, just one entry per person, and good luck.
You can pick up your Washington County map today at KUAF Public Radio. This year's map features a full city map of Fayetteville. The 2011 Washington County map is available just inside our lobby at KUAF, and we're located at 9 South School in Fayetteville.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Our reporter Luke Gramlich knows about graduation. He did that last week from the University of Arkansas. Many students, when they graduate, have something left over, textbooks, and not all of them are bought back. But now there's a plan to make good with all of the used textbooks.
University of Arkansas students now can get rid of their old textbooks while also helping other students and the environment. That's because the University Bookstore, Associated Student Government, and the Office of Campus Sustainability are working with Book Drives Incorporated to reuse and recycle outdated textbooks. This is the second semester for the U of A's book donation program. Campus Sustainability Director Nick Brown says textbooks that will have a new edition next year, or those that professors order for a specific class that won't be used again, can be donated.
The books ought to be 7 years old or less. They need to be clean. So someone will use these books, and so they shouldn't have mold or mildew, anything like that. The rule is, if you can smell the book, it's probably not one that we want to donate for this purpose.
So what happens to the donated books? The University Bookstore will bundle and ship them to Massachusetts. Then Book Drives Incorporated will sort and distribute the books to schools, colleges, and universities across the globe. Some students who receive the donated books otherwise might not have access to English language textbooks.
We're getting those books out to someone who can learn again from using that book.
There's also an environmental aspect to the university's book donation program. Thanks to a partnership between Book Drives Incorporated and Trees for the Future, for each book donated, one tree will be planted. Nick Brown explains by donating books, students are helping to plant trees around the world while at the same time reducing the U of A's carbon footprint.
Trees for the Future plants forestry plantations, agricultural use trees, urban trees, all kinds of trees in many, many locations around the globe. Essentially, Book Drives Inc. Arranges for a tree to be planted for each book that's turned in. So I think 2,000 trees would be a fantastic goal, and that ends up to be something in the range of about 10 acres of plantation forestry.
For its contribution to the program, Book Drives Incorporated will give the university a cash rebate of 22% of the money it makes by reselling the textbooks. Brown says this money will go to a good cause.
We'll probably have something in the range of $1,000 between last semester and this semester. Logically, we would support literacy efforts in some local schools. Or it's also possible that we will support some sustainability project here on campus. We'll have a committee of students and staff who will make that determination together.
The university's book donation program lasts until May 27th. Books may be dropped off in bins located on campus at the University Bookstore, Willard J. Walker Hall, Mullins Library, the J.B. Hunt Center for Academic Excellence, the Harmon Parking Deck, and any of the campus food courts. Those books that can't be reused will be recycled by Razorback Recycling. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Luke Gramlich.
You may have heard, glee clubs are popular once again, very popular. The Fox TV series Glee has inspired people to sing with each other and to sing in public. The series' influence can be felt and heard, especially heard, at McNair Middle School in Fayetteville. Last week, the school's glee club, nearly three dozen strong, came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF.
We know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong.
The singers, called Crescenda, have already performed at Arvest Ballpark before a Northwest Arkansas Naturals game, and they will offer a concert Thursday night at McNair Middle School Cafeteria. When the Glee Club came to our studio, they were accompanied by their instructors, Jenny Alves and Katie Seifritz.
Oh, I get the enjoyment. I love singing and I love dancing, and it's the end result. If they give me goosebumps and chills, then they've really accomplished something. I love seeing their faces and their smiles and them having a wonderful job.
And at this age group, watching them commit themselves to something and watching them just rise to the occasion and come together as a group and do what they love, which is this group singing and dancing, it's really fun to watch.
Jenny Alves says she finds songs that are popular that the students like, including selections that have been featured on the TV show Glee. The repertoire includes pop, musical theater, and jazz. Many of the songs, think Journey or Motown, are at least 20 years older than the singers, or 30 or 40 years, but they say, the students, that that doesn't matter at all. Jenny Alves says the group approaches each song the same way.
We hand out the sheet music, we do a run-through, we listen to it, we sight-read it, but prior to that, I do voicing. I warm them up seeing who's going to sing alto, soprano. We've got our very strong baritone section for four guys right now. Awesome job, and we can hear you. So the whole process of placing them between parts is a day. And then we just dive right into the music, learning. And I have soprano singing, learning the alto part, altos learning the soprano part, and I even had all the girls, all the sopranos and altos learning the baritone part.
Here is the McNair Middle School Glee Club called Crescenda inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio last week.
night.
Some of these middle school students will pursue music further, some won't. Jenny says the experience will benefit them all nonetheless.
Oh, definitely. I mean, a lot of them are going to go off into different fields, but quite a few that I can think of are going to continue in theater, whether or not it's local or they move out of the area, and they continue, definitely.
The nearly three dozen students in the McNair Middle School Glee Club inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio earlier this month. They will give a concert performance Thursday night in the McNair Middle School cafeteria in Fayetteville. And since they were 33 students strong, we didn't have enough time to have each mention their name, so...
I'm going to count to three, and when I say three, everyone just say their name. And that way we'll know that everyone's name gets on the air. So, ready? You'll just say your name, who you are. One, two, three.
This is Ozarks at Large.
Hello, this is Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz, every Friday night from 10 till midnight. On tonight's show, we'll hear some music from the trumpeter you hear in the background, a young new talent, and his name is Ambrose Akinesiri. We'll also hear from a host of Brazilian musicians, Hermeto Pascoal and Nilson Mata, and New Orleans trumpeter Irvin Mayfield, saxophonist Joe Lovano, and much more. That's Shades of Jazz, Friday night at 10 o'clock.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Time for a question to end the week. And winners today will receive as many, we'll have as many winners as we have pairs of tickets left for the Artisphere Festival Orchestra.
We have about 12?
Maybe not quite that many now.
We gave some away.
Mm-hmm. We gave some away, so I'm not quite sure how many, but we'll give away to as many correct answers as we can, and this will be two tickets each to each winner for Saturday night's 8 o'clock performance of the AFO and Sunday's 5 o'clock, which is the finals of the Fulbright Concerto competition. Everyone who told me who's even heard a rehearsal say this is amazing. Now, here's the catch. If you win the ticket today, you're going to have to pick them up today.
Right.
Before 5 o'clock.
Because we can't get them to you in the mail in time.
Right. So, just know that. All right.
Yes. Okay. So, today, we heard from the Glee Club at McNair Elementary.
Yes.
So, I thought our question should be about Glee Clubs.
I think you're right.
Okay. So, a Glee is an unaccompanied part song for three or more voices. It was particularly popular in the 18th century, and it started in the UK, and originally it was just for males, and nowadays it can be, you know, mixed choirs and things like that. And actually, in the U.S., we use it. It's not necessarily what the word used to be exactly, because I know that the choirs don't necessarily sing glees anymore, but they still call themselves a glee club. So, our question today is, what is the oldest collegiate glee club in the United States? Is it Cornell University Glee Club, Harvard Glee Club, or Yale Glee Club?
So, it's out of the Ivy League. We know that.
Yes.
Cornell, Harvard, or Yale. 800-522-5823 with your answer. Time now for our Glee Club question answer.
Yes. So the question was, what is the oldest collegiate Glee Club in the United States? Is it from Cornell, Harvard, or Yale?
And I guess Harvard.
And you're correct.
All right.
They were founded in 1858.
Wow.
And they were actually here. Ithy and I went to go see them earlier this
and
year.
Were they entertaining?
They were really good. It was really good. They had it at the Air and Art Center. It was part of the Walton Art Center's 5x5 series. And so very affordable, but it was very entertaining. We thoroughly enjoyed it.
And local support for Ozarks at Large comes from the KUAF Fulbright Chamber Music Festival, presenting the music of Bach, Beethoven, and Mozart, performed by the University of Arkansas Music Department faculty and guest artists, Thursday, May 26 at 7:30 p.m. in the Stella Boyle Smith Fine Arts Concert Hall. Admission is free. Information available at fulbrightsummermusic.uark.edu. Local support also comes from Ozark Natural Foods, Northwest Arkansas's consumer-owned food co-op since 1971, with local organic produce and all-natural groceries, bulk foods, health and wellness products, a full-service deli, and now organic chicken feed. Ozark Natural Foods is located in the Evelyn Hills Shopping Center or on the web at ozarknaturalfoods.com.
A service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM. Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Farewell.
And where is Farewell?
Farewell is northwest of Green Forest, and it's northeast, and it's just west of Denver.
Just west of Denver in Boone County. No, Carroll County. One of those two. Green Forest is in Carroll County. Okay.
It is Carroll County. Yes.
Yes, Green Forest is. I didn't know if it was over the...
Nope, it's in Carroll County. And yes, but while I'm thinking of this before I forget,
yes,
we want to wish Kyle Kellums a happy birthday today. Yay.
Well, thank you very much.
You're going to have some big plans this evening or take it easy?
Something. plans haven't been finalized yet, actually.
All as long as it's fun.
Yes, might make it to Maxine's for a few minutes.
There you go.
All right. Let's see. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF.
It is.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Have a great weekend.
And let us help you start the weekend with a little more from the McNair Glee Club, who visited us earlier this month.
525,600 names.